بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Respected علماء، قراء، حفاظ، elders, brothers and sisters, جماعة المسلمين، our special guest from Palestine, Brother Bassam Tamimi, والوفد الكريم and the honorable delegation who is here today from the occupied territories and honoring us here at Masjid al-Quds. I express my gratitude and appreciation to the Board of Trusts of Masjid al-Quds, the Jama'ah, and the community of this Masjid for having honored us during the course of this week with the Lifetime Award, and I happen to be one of the recipients of this award. I have come to express my humble and deep appreciation for this type of recognition. But at the same time, I remind myself and wish to remind everybody that we should not be in the business of wanting to receive accolades and awards for the work we do or should do. And particularly in the Palestinian arena, we accept, but we are fully aware that the true award for the Palestinian cause will only be the day that we see liberation and freedom, insha'Allah. Only the day when Al-Qiblatul Ula will be liberated. Only the day that Al-Quds will be liberated. Only the day that the Palestinian people will experience the liberation and the freedom and the restoration of the land, we will all be celebrating that great achievement, insha'Allah. Our dua is always that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us in our lifetime to see the liberation of Palestine, insha'Allah. Very significantly, the Masjid al-Quds have chosen the month of August. And even though our day coincided with Women's Day in South Africa, I thought that today's message here in the Jumu'ah is to draw your attention to what happened approximately 48 years ago, the 21st of August, 1969. On the 21st of August, 1969, the Australian Jew Michael Dennis Rohan entered Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak, disguised himself as a Muslim, and placed the amount of explosives beneath the prestigious minbar, the minbar of Salahuddin, the minbar of celebration, the minbar of the liberation of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. It was in the vision of the great Imaduddin Zinki, Nuruddin al-Shahid, who commissioned Salahuddin Ayyubi and said to him, the day when you liberate al-Masjid al-Aqsa, you enter this minbar into the masjid as a gift, a very prestigious gift from the people of Aleppo. Madinat Halab is bleeding today. It was the vision of the people of Aleppo, the artisans and the carpets or the carpenters that built this minbar, consisting of 80,000 links assembled together without a drop of glue or a nail being used on that minbar. But in order to understand what is it that gave Michael Dennis Rohan the motivation, what gave him the eagerness and that evil mindset to destroy that minbar, we have to go back to the day of the occupation of Madinatul Quds, the 6th of June, 1967. Very seldom we reflect on this. And I want to draw your attention to 1967, 1968, and 1969. On this day of the occupation of Al-Quds, the occupation of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, the occupation of the West Bank, the occupation of the Gaza, the occupation of the Sinai in the Egyptian side, and the occupation of the Jolan on the Syrian side. Out of all these strategic points, the Zionist occupation forces went to the Ha'itul Buraq, to the place where the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is said to have tied the Buraq, Laylatul Isra wal Mi'raj. If you go into the archives, you will see the Mushid Dayans, the Ariel Sharons, walking to what they call today the Western Wall. They call it Ha'itul Makkah, the Wailing Wall. And for us, we repeat every time that we take this platform, Laysa hunaka Ha'itul Makkah. There is no wailing hall. Innaha ha'itul buraq. It is the wall of the buraq. Indama rabata an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where Rasulullah tied the buraq and he said, Rabattul buraq. Indama rabata al-anbiya'u min qabli. I tied the buraq where all the anbiya prior to me tied the transportation. At that Ha'itul Buraq, there is a masjid known as Masjidul Buraq. At that wall, there is the Zawiyatul Maghariba, the enclavement of the Mujahideen of Morocco and Mauritania and Algeria, who fought with Salahuddin against the Salibiyun. It is only in 1967 that the Zionists claimed legitimacy of Ha'itul Buraq. And so the events that is taking place right now, what we have seen happening for the last month around Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa is not in isolation of what started off in 1967. And so painfully, we have to remind you today that in 1967, already we lost an integral part of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. In 1967, we lost the Ha'itul Buraq. That is in spite of the fact that in 1929, the Palestinian people started Thawratul Buraq, the revolution of the Buraq Wall, to safeguard this very integral part of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. Even today, many Muslims are confused. Many Muslims compromise on an integral part of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Many Muslims even today believe that the Jewish community have a right at the Wailing Wall. Some of us believe it is a good interfaith exercise. There's nothing interfaith about the Ha'itul Buraq. Every portion of that masjid, every portion of the compound of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, Haqqun lil-Muslimin, is the haqq of the Muslimin. And so in 1967, and therefore 2017, Masjid Al-Aqsa experienced 50 years of occupation. Besides the fact that they have taken charge of the Ha'itul Buraq and converted it to the Wailing Wall, you know, the night of Laylatul Isra wal Mi'raj, Rasulullah entered that Bab. It is called classically Babun Nabi, the gate of the Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. Why? Because he entered through that particular gate. He entered Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. The keys of that door, of that gate, was taken away by the Zionists from 1967 till now. And not a single Muslim have ever entered that Bab again after 1967. If you look at the expansionist plan or the divisionist plan of the Zionists, you will actually see it is from this particular point that they intensify the excavations almost immediately the year after that. 1968, the Zionists commence with Hafriyat Taht al-Masjid al-Aqsa al-Mubarak, the excavations beneath al-Masjid al-Aqsa al-Mubarak. Because Zionism is driven by the ideology, the state is incomplete without the capital. The capital must be Al-Quds for them, and that the capital is incomplete without the temple, and the temple is the temple of Solomon, and they believe the temple of Solomon must be built on the ruins of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. So from 1968 till now, the Zionists have intensified the excavations to prove archaeologically that there are enough archaeological traces of the Temple of Solomon. 50 years down the line, 50 years down the line, there is not a single evidence archaeologically of the Temple of Solomon as they claimed. And so designers are now compelled to change their idea about Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. Let me share with you some of the very confusing ideas they are sharing with the world. And Muslims are falling trap to it. How many a times on the social media we have to try in our limited way to defend. Muslims are confused about the definition of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Whenever somebody sees the Dome of the Rock, he would risk on social media and say, this is not Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Some even say, be careful not to believe that the Dome of the Rock is Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, because the real Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa is the Black Dome, and they are keeping our eye on the Dome of the Rock so that they can destroy the real Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Both interpretations, and all of them are wrong. We are living in a time that if we are confused about the definitions and the terminologies, another terminology that is eating up the minds of the Muslims, even Muslim media are reporting in the same way. Whenever there are clashes around Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, you hear clashes around Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, sacred to the Muslims, equally holy to the Jews, known as the Temple Mount. I have a very big problem with this. How can you call Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa the Temple Mount? Here is a Palestinian brother. Ask him, what do you call Temple Mount in Arabic? Temple Mount in Arabic is known as Jabalul Haikal. The Quran is very verbatim in places. The Quran is not confused about geographical spaces and cities. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa. Al-masjid al-aqsa is the only masjid mentioned verbatimly in the Quran after al-masjid al-haram. The Quran did not say, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila Jabal al-Haykal. So why is it that Muslims also believe that the compound of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa is the equivalent of the Temple Mount? This is another way that the Zionists are fighting us, using the incorrect terminologies, obliterating the power of Arabic and replacing it with Hebrew terminologies. And so if there is a need to resist, resistance also means from the angle of language, we need to resist Zionist occupation. Why is it that the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was consistent in the word Baytul Maqdis? La tazalu ta'ifatun min ummati zahirin ala al-haq li'aduwihim qahirin la yadurruhum man khalafahum aw khazlahum hatta ya'tiyahum amrullahi wa hum kadhalik. قالوا أينهم يا رسول الله قال ببيت المقدس. ميمونة مولاة رسول الله asked النبي عليه أفتنا في بيت المقدس يا رسول الله. بيت المقدس, بيت المقدس. We have to study the divine wisdom, the prophetic wisdom of why it was called بيت المقدس. And so the definition of المسجد الأقصى هو مدار عليه السور. Let me remind you that the dome of the rock as you see it, جزء لا يتجزأ من المسجد الأقصى. It is an integral part of المسجد الأقصى. The black dome that you see, الجامع القبلي, the Qibla Masjid, is an integral part of المسجد الأقصى. Every little member that you see, the space that you see, if you make salah in the compound and you made salah beneath the olive tree, لقد صليت في المسجد الأقصى. You have made salah in المسجد الأقصى المبارك. And so we have to embrace the correct terminologies, because on a day-to-day basis, we see the Zionists intensify the grip on المسجد الأقصى المبارك. I must say this today, and maybe we need not a Jumu'ah, we need to call for a special presentation in this masjid and many other masajid in the Western Cape. We have to identify those who are collaborating with the Zionists against the Palestinian cause. We have to identify to our community that was Hajj and Umrah is integral to Islam, we should not hesitate to be critical about the betrayal of the Saudi monarch on the Palestinian issue and the position of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. We should not compromise there, because if we compromise there, we prolong the pain and the suffering of our people. We prolong the pain and the suffering of the Palestinian people. We prolong the pain and the suffering of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. Where were the monarch in 1929 when the Palestinian people started the Thawrah? Where were they in 1967? Where were they in 1968? Where were they in 1969 when Michael Dennis Rohan placed the explosives beneath al-mimbar of Salahuddin? Why is it today they want to claim victory for having restored the position of al-Masjid al-Aqsa recently? Kithbun waftira'un. It is a lie and a distorted fact against the young people and the elderly and the women who stood against the Zionists during the last few weeks. Today, I brought a very special gift to this masjid. It requires more time because we want to give our brother Bassam Tamimi also a few minutes to share with you the purpose of the visit to South Africa. After Jumu'ah, you will be allowed to take a photograph of this. Come and have a closer look. If need, maybe we can bring it back to the masjid on another occasion. This, maybe if Sheikh can lift it up, if it's possible, from the bottom. This is a portion of the minbar that was brought by Salahuddin into Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. This is the remaining burned piece of that wood that was destroyed by Michael Dennis Rowan, 1969. This is not a fake piece. 3-4 years ago, the International Board of the Al-Quds Foundation, with its headquarters in Beirut, decided that if there was a community that should be recognized for their dedication to the Palestinian cause, then it is the South African community, and they decided to entrust us with this piece of the remaining part of the minbar of Salahuddin. So this is in the possession of the Al-Quds Foundation of South Africa. We haven't showed it to a lot of masajid, although for this year we have covered a number of masajid, but today is the first time that we bring it here. Reflect on the following. Built in Aleppo, Salahuddin Ayyubi carried two members with him. One member went into the masjid of Nabi Ibrahim in the city of Hebron. The other member into Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. Imagine the dignity and the honor that we have, that from Madinat Halab to the city of Cape Town. This is further to motivate us that we have to share a great deal of our time to educate our people, to influence our institutions, to make sure that we are going to pave the way for future generations to have a better understanding of the subject matter and not to compromise, as we continue to see in our time here today. I ask the Jama'ah, in your own way, to dedicate some of your readings. Go and search for the reading of Michael Dennis Rowan. Look at the extent of the damage that was caused, and the Zionists merely concluded that Michael Dennis Rowan was mentally disturbed. We should reject that type of report because he did not do it in isolation of what was started in 1967. And 2017 leaves us with 50 years of the occupation of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, the occupation of the Church of the Holy Nativity, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the Palestinian people, the Muslims, the Christians, all of them are suffering the same under the occupation of Zionism. I wish to ask the permission of the MC, Brother Sattar. We are going to give our brother Bassam a few minutes to share with the Jama'ah the purpose of their visit to South Africa. Tafadhal.